السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد وجزاء سيئة سيئة مثلها فمن عفا وأصلح فأجره على الله إنه لا يحب الظالمين صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله My noble audience, the last time I gave a talk, and that was 2 weeks ago on Friday, we were discussing the very important topic of brotherhood. In that talk, we discussed a few ayat and a few sayings of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that further enlightened us in regards to the importance of brotherhood. And basically the conclusion was that each person needs to sacrifice his ego, his desires, his rights, so the vessel of brotherhood can keep moving onwards. If everyone focuses upon his rights and upon himself, the vehicle of brotherhood will stand still. Now indeed, today by the grace of Allah Almighty, we will further advance this topic and make mention of one ayat from the glorious Quran from Surah Shura, Surah number 42, verse number 40, and a few ahadith that will further enlighten us. We made mention last week, or the week before that, that there's a hadith that has been recorded by Imam Abu Dawood in Abu Dawood, that Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is the latter half of the statement of the Nabi, إِلَّا مَنْ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ شَحْنَا فَيُقَالْ أُنْذُرُوا أَهَادَيْنَ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That there are particular times where Allah addresses the angelic world. And Allah Almighty looks upon His makhluq, and in particular the human being. If He finds that there's a human being that believes in His greatness, Allah declares success for him. And Allah Almighty informs the malaika that this person ultimately will enter Jannah. But immediately after this expression, Allah Almighty excludes a certain group of people. إِلَّا مَنْ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ شَحْنَا. That the law was general, that a person who is a Unitarian, who believes in Allah Almighty, he will enter Jannah. But that believer, who is a believer at that moment when Allah is addressing the malaika, and I would like you to focus upon that statement. That believer who is a believer at that time, when Allah is addressing the malaika, his time is not up yet. He still has a substantial journey to cover. So at that time, Allah Almighty says that two brothers, two Muslims, Muslimat, that are not speaking to each other, we cannot declare success for them. They are excluded from this bashara, from this glad tidings. فَيُقَالْ أُنْذُرُوا أَهَذَيْنْ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا. Then further Allah guides the malaika and informs them that you can place them amongst the people of Jannah when they reconcile. Now we have to really focus and ponder upon these words. Many a times we study a hadith superficially. Many a times we speak about the evil impact of disunity in the month of Ramadan. That Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was to come outside and inform the Ummah of the exact night of Qadr. But because of two people, Allah Almighty removed that knowledge from the blessed mind of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he forgot. But I want my noble audience to focus upon the words of this hadith of Abu Dawood, that you cannot write him as a person of Jannah unless he reconciles. Now that is a very, very strong statement. But who is making this strong and profound statement? It is the Nabi of Allah. So there has to be some deep, profound wisdom behind it. Indeed, the wisdom has not been explicitly highlighted by the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he has left the group of scholars to academically dissect this statement and come up with the precise meaning. And the understanding of the scholars is that animosity between two is such a crime in the eyes of Allah that it has the potential to deprive a person of his faith before departure. Dispute amongst two has the potential to deprive a person from iman before departure. And that is the wisdom behind this statement. And that's why the malaika are not allowed to write his name amongst the people of Jannah. Because many a times, a person has so much animosity and hatred towards the other that he does not know where to stop. That animosity is so powerful that it keeps pushing him onwards, and he becomes blind and oblivious to reality. And many a times this person, through this anger, through this hatred and bughd and hasad, he places him outside the tent of iman. So it is most important that we address our differences and try to come up with the best solution so our name can be registered amongst the people that are going to enter Jannah. So I'm going to make mention of one ayah. Of course, the ulama of tafsir have written extensively upon this ayah, and I believe Jumu'ah is not the domain where I make mention of the academic study pertaining to this ayah, but I will make mention of one or two points. This is the ayah that I recited in the start. It is from Surah Shura, Surah number 42, verse number 40. Allah Almighty says, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. That the recompense of an evil is an evil like thereof. So if somebody has harmed you, you are allowed to harm him at the same measure. If somebody has belittled you, you are allowed to belittle him at the same level. So this is the equitable rule, the rule of justice. Reconciliation, or you can say retaliation, is allowed in this ayah, or in this part of the ayah. But then immediately Allah switches to another domain, diverts the attention of the human being. فَمَنْ عَفَى. So Allah is saying, you can take retaliation, you can take this option, you can avenge the illness that was experienced by you, by the perpetrator of the crime, but فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. But if you forgive and reconcile, وَأَصْلَحَ and reconcile, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, then the reward is due from Allah. How beautifully Allah has accommodated for different kinds of people in this one ayah. How beautifully. An ayah that is inclusive to all kinds of people, of different natures, different dispositions, different mizaj, temperament. Allah has accommodated and facilitated for each one. The very famous statement of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is لا يلدغ المؤمن من جحر واحد مرتين. A believer is not bitten from one hole twice. That is a statement of our Nabi of Allah. Basically, the Nabi of Allah is saying a believer is wise. Firasatul mu'min. That the believer is very, very wise. لا يخدع ولا يخدع. He does not deceive and he is not deceived. He does not deceive and he does not become a deception of another person. Now, if the law of the Quran is that you have to forgive a person because that is the best, because the reward is due from Allah, then there is a probability that the perpetrator of the crime will use this option and take you for a ride. And the Nabi of Allah said, a believer should not be bitten from one hole twice. And if we keep forgiving that person, we may be bitten from that hole, not once, not twice, but multiple times. So what is the reconciliation? What is the reconciliation? Because the Quran says, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. You are allowed to avenge. I have experienced that this person, he keeps doing it. But the Quran says, I should forgive. And I believe that I am forgiving him, that's why he's doing it. Because he knows he's going to get away with murder. So the ulama under this ayah have made mention, and they've come up with a beautiful point. They say the best forgiver is Allah. Best forgiver is Allah. And Allah does not even forgive the perpetrator of the crime if he does not have remorse and regret. Allah does not even forgive. That's why one of the most important elements of tawbatan nasuha is nadama. It is regret and remorse. If one person has committed a crime and he has no regret and no remorse, and Allah can see what is in the heart, and it is just a mere verbal statement, Ya Allah, forgive me, that utterance, that expression will not be accepted in the court of Allah, because it has to be beautified and adorned with nadama, with regret and remorse. Allah can see if there is regret and remorse. We cannot see that. So we basically have to give the benefit of the doubt to the person. Because I do not have the gadget, the tool and the instrument by which I can see if the person has regret and remorse. If he comes to me and he says, please forgive me, I will have to give him the benefit of the doubt. But the ulama have said there are external factors that will assist you if he has nadama, if he has regret and remorse, and that is his pattern of behavior preceding to the time he has come to you. If he has done this before, and he says, please forgive me, and the body language gives this strong indication that he has regret and remorse, but that then you find out further on that he has deceived you, that this is a pattern by which we will determine if he has nidama inside or not. So basically the scholars have said that if a person has genuine regret and remorse, you should forgive him. And the reward will be from Allah for you. But if he does not have genuine regret and remorse, and he is stubborn and insistent, then you should avenge. Because forgiving him each time will allow him to commit the crime again. So you take the option that the Quran has given of retaliation, and most probably this retaliation will break, will be like a break for this person. Does it make sense? So many a times people say that the Quran says we should forgive, we should forgive. I have forgiven this person so many a times, but he comes back to bite me. Keep in mind, the Quran does not say close your eyes to reality and be blind and oblivious to reality. We're living in this practical domain. We need to be practical about our decisions. We have to be practical. There are some people that do not deserve the forgiveness of Allah. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab do not deserve. Utbah, Shaybah do not deserve. There may be people like that amongst us from Muslims that do not deserve our package of kindness, our package of mahabbah. They exploit us. They take us for a ride. You use the option and say, that's enough. Enough is enough. And you avenge. And there is a probability that that may be the turning point for that person. He may realize what I'm doing is wrong. So I'll come back to the ayah. That retaliation is an option. But فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ. If you forgive and you reconcile, the reward is due from Allah. Now I'm going to go to another dimension of this ayah that came to my mind when I was studying this. There are certain people that you can live without, and there are certain people that you cannot live without. For example, you cannot live without your father and mother, without your siblings, without your brothers and sisters, without your wife, without your best friend, without your auntie, uncle, grandfather, grandmother, paternal, maternal. There are certain people that you have to live with them. Allah has placed them in your life. You did not ask for it, but according to Allah's master plan, they were placed in your life. You can't remove them. When it comes to such people, try to opt for the latter half of the ayah. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ. Always forgive and reconcile. Because you can't live without them. Be the better person. Be the person that can forgive. You can't live without your wife. You can claim to live without your wife, but you can't. Many a times when a breakup takes place, and I've seen this many a times, breakup takes place between a husband and a wife. The first week, the husband is giggling. He is laughing. He's over the moon. Musibat talgi. That Allah has taken this musibat away from me. The wife is crying profusely. And after 2 or 3 weeks, it is the opposite. The husband starts to cry, and the wife is giggling. Don't allow that transition to take place. Because when that transition takes place, it is very hard to force the wife to make a U-turn. Whoa. My counseling experience, it's very, very hard. She does not make that U-turn. She gets the ability to control herself. She feels confident that she can live without. As long as she's in that domain where she thinks she can't live without, you've got a chance. But once she arrives in that domain where she thinks she can live without, you can call the biggest alim, the best counselor, the mother and the father. She's not going to listen. That's my experience in a capsule. So there are certain people you can't live without. Always be the person that forgives. You can't live without your brothers and your sisters. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be an evil brother and an evil sister. that are damaging your relationship between you and your wife. One brother that is gossiping, that is speaking in the ear of your father against you. You know that. But you can't live without your brother. You're going to have to be the person that forgives and reconciles. And let me tell you something else. When you forgive somebody, you won't see the results, the positive results immediately. But they will come your way. They will come your way. It is the qanoon, the law of Allah, that if you want to be treated with forgiveness, treat people with forgiveness. Basically, this law gives us an understanding that if I forgive people, if I forgive people, Allah is going to forgive me for all my shortcomings. And now when a person is forgiven by Allah, he receives one bounty, one bliss from above. And that is wud, that is mahabbah. What did the Nabi of Allah say? That when Allah loves a person, the only reason why our love has not materialized with Allah is because there is a veil of sin. Once the sin is removed and we are forgiven, we become walis. We become the friends of Allah. And what did the Nabi of Allah say? That when Allah loves a person, he expresses that to Jibreel. Jibreel expresses that to the celestial world, and then that trickles down to the entire makhluk. And that's why even a person you do not know, he comes to you and he says, "Ana uhibbuka lillah," I love you for the sake of Allah. There's something about you. If you love a person and you don't really know the person, and there's an attraction inside you, basically this is a divine gift. That person is accepted in the court of Allah. That's why you love that person, because it's not only you who loves him, it is the entire makhluk of Allah that loves him. Because the best makhluk after the human being, the practicing human being, the malaika love him as well. You forgive today, you may not see the result of your forgiveness. He may still bag you in front of your father. He may still try to damage your relationship between you and your wife. But success is coming your way. Everything makes a U-turn. Everything makes a U-turn. It is the qanoon of Allah Almighty that whatever good you will do, and there is no better good than reconciliation in the light of what I have said. Not always, but most of the time. فَمَنْ عَفَى. So forgive, reconcile, and Allah will give you the reward. So basically there are certain people that you can't live without. Try to opt for this. And then there are certain people that you can live without. There are many people that can live without me in this congregation, and there are many that I can live without. Most probably I see them once a Friday. You see me twice in a month. I can live without you, you can live without me. I have bitten you, you have bitten me. We don't get along. Now the ruling that the ulama have given is that keep a relationship, but at a very low level. And that relationship basically is encapsulated in greeting. That's it. Encapsulated in greeting. Assalamu alaikum. Bas, khatam. No more, no less. Not with people that are around. You can't do that. You can't say assalamu alaikum to your brother and walk away. It's not going to work. To your wife, assalamu alaikum, and let's walk away. No, it's not going to work. These are people that are in your life. People that are not in your life, you can't get along with. Encapsulate your relationship with that person in the expression of greeting, assalamu alaikum. Don't feel shy. You see the person, I hate the guts of this person. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That's what you have to do. Inshallah, this will allow you to attain the highest reward on the other side. Now basically what we see nowadays is that those people that we can live without, we cut ties with them. We don't even talk to them. We don't even say assalamu alaikum. And those that we can't live without, we encapsulate our relationship with them with Assalamu Alaikum. No. We have dropped down from the high, sublime level that the Nabi of Allah has given. Always be at a high level, on the highest podium, with your wife, with your children, with your uncles and with your aunties, and your best friends, and your colleagues, and your boss, and the people that work under you, those that are around you, that basically build your life, and you build your life around them. Does it make sense? Allah Rabbul Izzah give us tawfiq. Try to develop the ability of reconciliation. Inshallah, we will construct another discussion upon this in the week to come. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.